And then God expects us to spend time with him in prayer and to read our Bible. Well, that goes along with what my coworker said, communication. So we need to do that often, and we need to do that seriously, spend a lot of time with God so we can learn from him. And then the one that my son-in-law said, don't let pride get in the way, that's in our relationship with God too. Admit your faults, confess your sins, and strive to do better. Because I know my pride gets in the way an awful lot, and I don't want to admit that I'm wrong to my spouse or to God. So I make all sorts of excuses for it, or, you know, I stand my ground, and I got that Scandinavian in me. My mother called me stubborn. I don't know where she got that from. So as we celebrate our wedding today, the wedding of Ryan and Sean, may God bless them and bring them close together, and may he bring them close to him, and may they work really, really hard at their relationship with God and making each other better people, and just encouraging each other along the way. So let's open in prayer. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sunshine that you have given us today. And we thank you that we have such a wonderful example of what you want from us in the Bible, that you have told us what you want from us. You have told us what to do. You have told us what to do with our spouses and with our parents and with our friends and how to live our lives. And if we put you top priority in our worship, in our day-to-day lives, our relationships with everyone else improves as well. Please bless today. Please bless Brian and Sean as they start their lives. And just let us give them encouragement along the way. And we worship you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Ford River. It's been so fun to see and different people in the church all the time, and everybody's having family up this summer, and it's just a fun time to celebrate just the UP and life. And we're so excited that you're all here today for this special Sunday. I'm going to start by reading from Psalm 118, and it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." So I'm going to add, let Ford River Community Chapel say, his love endures forever. Thank you for doing that with me. We're going to start, and if you've noticed, in front of you is something new. Your hymnals are back. So since we have the archway up here this morning, we can't use our pull-down screen. So you're going to have to use your hymnals. And if you'll stand with me on page 277, we're going to start with the church's one foundation.
Left from every nation.
you'll turn with me to page 462, we're going to sing Savior Like a Shepherd Leads Us. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse, and then lead right into Precious Lord, Take My Hand on the opposite page. 462.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Deliver us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear, oh, hear us when we pray.
Verse 4.
Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, that thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Right across the page, 463.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am when my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this wonderful full church full of family and friends. And this, we ask your blessing on this precious marriage today between Brian and Sean. We just are so grateful to you for being here with us in the midst of this service. And we just ask you to bless Pastor Jay as he brings us the message today. Just open our eyes and our ears to hear what you want us to hear. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
How many of you are here just to see this fantastic wedding? Yeah. Who wants to make it a double wedding? Anybody? For me, this Sunday has loomed large with intrigue for several days. I mean, ever since the decision was made to move the wedding to a place where it dovetails at the end of the church service, my mind's been kind of fluttering with ideas. Thoughts like, should the sermon be on a topic unrelated to the wedding? Or should we resume our place in Romans chapter 15? And then the thought came to me, well, maybe we should focus on a man and a woman becoming husband and wife. And you probably guessed what my decision was. I decided that's where we should hover. We here at Ford River Community Chapel believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible, also known as verbal plenary inspiration. This position holds that not only the biblical message, but also the individual words in which that message is delivered, written down, and divinely chosen. We take the position because it is the position that the scripture assumes for itself. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. I want to take you to a very difficult passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, what I just said is very important because we live in a culture that chagrins against what's going to be read now. And we tend to view Scripture in terms of what we've experienced, what injuries we've received, what troubles we've endured, become a filter for how we interpret what we then read in the scripture. And I want you to do something that's hard to do. I want you to take a step back. And I want you to think, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Because this is his inspired word. The scripture says in Peter, no scripture has come to us by private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Do you have any anxiety growing now? I'm placing you under pressure on purpose. I'm not going to leave you there, but I did put you there on purpose. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I realize that, like I said earlier, hovering over these verses caused some of you anxiety. Indeed, some of you may be experiencing discomfort or the re-experiencing of pains from failed marriages or really tensions that are more contemporary than that. So I consulted, because I realized I would walk into this minefield, some experts yesterday. Mary, what do you call that group that you sew with? Where's Mary at? The Sewing Guild. She's back here? What's she doing back there? the Sewing Guild. So there's a whole gaggle of women in the fellowship hall, and they're all sewing. I walk in, and they're all over the place sewing. I can't imagine Deb not being with them. And so I knew this passage was coming. I was going to use it, and I read it out loud to them. I said, I need a favor. They keep asking me, how much do you want to, how much should we pay you for the privilege of using your building? And I keep telling them, nothing, nothing. So finally I said, okay, I got a price for you. I need your opinion. So I read this passage that I just read to you. And I said, how has that gone for you? Have any of you tried to live up to the standard that's articulated in this passage? And they were raising their hands, talking. There was a marriage there that had been together for 63 years. There was one representing 54 years and every place in between. And one of them said, well, a man wrote the book anyway. And so I knew what her opinion was further. That's all she had to say. She put her head back down. She kept sewing. Another lady said, well, it depends. Sometimes I lead and sometimes he leads. And so they kind of grounded me. And then, in fact, I probably put the lady in the sound booth a little bit in an awkward position too. Because really that's what happens, isn't it? We see this ideal, but there's a lot of failure with respect to performing it because we're imperfect people. As the scripture says, we hold these truths in earthen vessels. We're a bunch of crackpots. We leak. And so then the question becomes, why did God choose to speak about the marital relationship in terms of his relationship with the church? Why did he do that? One answer might be because that's the degree of effort he wants put into it. He said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. And if it weren't for that verse, shortly after my wife's surgery years ago, she had a surgery that kind of changed her life and my life, we wouldn't be together today. Because I was in my mind tempted to give up because it was a life-altering brain surgery. And that verse kept popping up in my head, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. And I'm thinking, well, he never stopped. He kept trudging up that hill. He was sweating and he was bleeding and his blisters were stinging, but he didn't give up until he got to the top of that hill and they laid him out on those boards and they nailed him through the wrists and through the ankles. So I can't give up. So that verse, the value, I think, of articulating a standard like that is it gives us something to shoot for, something to reach for. Have you ever seen anyone do this correctly? Have you ever seen a woman model this passage we just read? Have you ever seen a man model this passage? Have you ever seen one or the other, or two together? It's a beautiful thing when it happens. The owner's manual said what I just read. In my car, if I get in my car and on the highway in drive two and go 70 miles an hour against the owner's manual's advice, what will happen? It'll blow up. Another reason why I think he gave this, and one of the ladies responded to that very question, what's the value of it? Why did he do it? Why did he use this marriage conversation and compare to his relationship to the church? She said, well, we don't know. And that's fair enough. It doesn't really say why he did that. We're conjecturing here. But there's a principle, nevertheless, that stands above all of this. And it's a principle of obedience. When I obey, I give glory to God. When I disobey, I give disrepute to God. And we've looked at the, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but we looked at the dangerous passage in Scripture, the most dangerous. in Matthew chapter 7, where it says, Jesus is evaluating the people, he's judging them, and he says to a person, go away, I never knew you. It begins the passage by saying, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. And then the complaints come back, well, Lord, didn't I preach in your name, like me? Just because I'm a fat preacher in front of the church doesn't mean I'm going to hear, welcome into my paradise. He said, notice, go away, I never knew you, to preachers, to Sunday school teachers, to people that are at the church every time the doors are open. Well, so what did he mean? We look together as a family at Jeremiah 22. He's talking, the prophet, to King Josiah's sons, who are going to succeed Josiah, who was a godly king. And he's enumerating all of the virtues of Josiah, who's now in retirement, how he judged righteously, how he was honest, how he dealt equitably with the problems of the people. And then he said something very revealing. He said, he asked, is this not to know me? So who are the people who are going to hear, go away, I never knew you? The people that are disobedient. God equates disobedience with not knowing him and obedience with knowing him. So you better have this conversation with me, because you now have time to make an adjustment. So I ask you, think about that. So with regard to this passage, what do we do with it? Our attitude should be about any passage. Okay, Father, what would you have me do? You know, so he's asking you to submit to this ogre of a guy, or this, you know, he's lazy, he doesn't have quiet times, he doesn't tie his shoes, he doesn't make the bed, you know, whatever his issues are. And you look past him to the God you're serving. I'm going to obey him, Lord, because you said you wanted that. So that's what I'm going to do. Same thing for the husbands. I'm not going to love her that way. I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to stay in my man cave and watch ESPN or whatever. I have limits. You need to look beyond that and say, okay, Lord. So you're playing. You've heard this all before. You're playing. You're performing. You're living for an audience of one. The people are just in the way. Say amen, go ahead. All right. Because then you'll get to the wedding faster. So we've gathered here today to join these two people into their forever relationship, and we're happy to do it. And Ron is going to remind you later, but I'll remind you now, happy newlyweds, I don't want to get ahead of myself, would like you all to stay and have lunch with them. So I'm going to pray now, and we're going to pick up a little bit more on this topic, but a little lighter, in the homily during the wedding service. So I'm going to pray, make a transitional statement. The bridal party, when I make that statement, is going to go to the rear of the church, and the processional music will start like boom right now. This will be the most exciting time you've ever had. So let's pray, and I'll make that statement. Thank you, Father, for this day and your word. Help us to obey it. Help us to embrace your word wherever we find it and whatever condition it finds us in. Lord, give me grace by the power of your spirit to obey you. I am a creature and you're the creator. In Jesus' name, amen. Who gives Sean Renee Ashley to be married to this man, Brian Donald Wartig?
Her parents do.
Amen. Can Dad have a kiss, sir? No?
Yeah. Okay.
It's the last one he gets, you know, like that, in this condition. Yeah. So I'm going to share a little. You may be seated. I'm going to share a little bit with you here. The vows you're about to take are special, and I wrote out something that I think you likely mean underneath the formal vows. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. When I marry you today, so check me if I'm wrong about this, I'm saying I'll take you, I take you, all of you. I take you and all your family, all of your genetics, all of your diseases, all of your doubts, all of your fears. You're mine. I choose you. I may be tempted from time to time. By God's grace, though, I won't let a glance turn into a stare. I may get lonely, but by God's grace, not use that as an excuse to wander. We may get angry at one another, but I'll try to bring back a smile to your face. If you ever lose your mind, I will change my mind so that I can keep on loving you. I love you, forsaking all others. Is that about sum it up?
Yes.
Okay. Sean, Renee, Ashley,
Brian.
I dropped down to the wrong line. Brian, do you take Sean to your wedded wife?
I do.
Very good. Do you covenant to love, honor, and keep her, to cherish her, comfort her, taking her for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to have and to hold from this time forth, cleaving to her alone till death do you part?
I do.
Good job. Sean, do you take Brian to your wedded husband?
I do.
Okay. See, now that makes me feel better. I made that mistake. Thank you very much.
It went the same way as the proposal.
Yeah. Wow. Let's not have that talk right now. Do you covenant to love, honor, and obey him? Cherish and comfort him, taking him for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to have and to hold him from this time forth, cleaving to him alone till death do you part? All right. What token of sincerity of this covenant do you give? Thank you very much. Sean, do you evidence, in evidence of your love and sincerity, do you accept this ring?
Yes.
Will you place it on her ring finger, please, sir? So it's a perfect circle made of gold designed to last forever. Repeat after me, if you will, Brian, a phrase at a time. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
And with all my heart's faithful affections.
With all my heart's faithful affections.
I thee endow.
I thee endow.
And Sean, would you do the honors there? Do you accept that ring, Brian?
I do.
Okay. And repeat after me, Sean. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
And with all my heart's faithful affections.
And with all my heart's faithful affections.
I thee endow.
I thee endow.
Inasmuch as you have mutually assumed this wedding covenant as a sacred vow taken before God and this company, by the authority conferred upon me as a minister of the gospel, I do now pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I now pronounce you man and wife. You may rub noses, shake hands, or kiss the bride. I would like to now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Brian Wartick.